Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on Blog Talk Radio. And I welcome you all. And this show, I'm going to talk about this show. It often deals with literary issues, theological issues, and political issues. I'll go into this in a few minutes. Tonight I'm going to talk about, I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary in Biblical Languages and and Theology, and which is a three-year degree. And I've talked about theological issues frequently on this show. And tonight I'm going to be talking about prayer and why God wants us to pray and what we should say and what he expects of us and why he asks us to pray. But let me give you a little bit of background about myself so you can understand where I'm coming from on this show and grasp what is it all about and what is my goal in this show. This is a politically incorrect show. Namely, we don't go in for political correctness. We don't believe in media hype, media falsehoods, or the big lie, or political rhetoric. We're trying to get at the truth through critical thinking, reading great books, and hopefully reading Holy Scripture and the Word of God. We are interested in truth and honesty and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. We're not interested in political lies, right or left. Second, this I'm a Christian, and this is a Christian show. And I adhere to Holy Scripture and the truth of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And also I believe in the creeds of the church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. And I believe in the great Christian books such as John Milton, John Bunyan, T.S. Eliot, C.S. Lewis, St. Thomas Aquinas, Augustine, and of course St. Paul's letters. These are the things that I read. These are the things I consider important and significant in my life. So, third, I have a political stance, generally conservative, but I follow Christ in his concern for the poor and poverty and his choice of his disciples being working class, uneducated people, and the fact that his followers are sinners, ritual law and moral sinners, and he did embrace himself, took on poverty, coming from heaven to earth, and embraced poverty, he said of the rich young man, if you want to have eternal life, you have to give away your goods, and the monastic movement, which developed after his life and his resurrection, the monastic movement was a response to the poverty that he embraced and took upon himself and recommended to others. Now, I'm going to talk about something else here. I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a Blog Talk radio show, and these shows are very often visited from Muslim countries and countries all over the world. I have over 3,000 visitors to my podcast show, and I have had visitors from Iran and Saudi Arabia to my Blog Talk radio show. I have many of my wonderful Muslim brothers and sisters visiting these Christian shows, which indicates to me their openness to think and accept other points of views. I'm very happy to have them to know them, and Jesus' love embraces all religions and all races and all peoples. He takes his love to everyone and doesn't maintain any kind of religious prejudice. I don't agree with these other religions. I'm a Christian, but I certainly know that Jesus loves them and wants to have them with him in heaven and wants them saved. He cares about them. as he cares about everyone. Next, I am a writer. I've written Christian books and legal books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and other books. I've written a book on the parables, all occasions of all 41 parables. I think the parables are wonderful, that they represent the thought and mind of Christ and God. I think everybody should read them. I know I have found value in reading them on a constant basis for many years. I've recently written a book on the Psalms, my interpretations of all 150 Psalms. I read the Psalms in Hebrew, really some of them, in seminary. And the Psalms are great lyric poetry, Hebrew lyric poetry, and they come across equally in English and in any language. And I challenge anyone to tell me which they would tire of more, the Psalms in a translation or Dostoevsky or Tolstoy in a translation. I think you will not tire of the Psalms, ladies and gentlemen, and neither will I. The Psalms are great spiritual treasures. They are religious treasures, and they're worth reading again and again. They are great, first of all, they are a great literary product. They're the literary product of Jewish culture at that time. And they are great pieces of literary work, in addition to being great theological statements. For example, in the Psalms, there's many, many references to aiding the poor and needy, which is one of the things that the Psalms continually talk about on a regular basis, which pleases me no end. Next, I have also I've written other books, a book on the family law and family law and practice, a chapter on paternity in family law and practice, edited by Merrill Sobey, a Pace University professor. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, if you can approach the Bible and understand it, you better believe in the supernatural and the miracles. Because it begins with a miracle in the creation of the world and ends with a miracle in the book of Revelation. The Bible is a book of miracles and supernatural ideas and events, and you can't ignore that aspect of it. You can try, but you won't understand what's in the Bible. You don't understand its supernatural, miraculous claim. I also have written other books, a chapter in New York Jurisprudence on criminal law, demands and notices, chapter in New York Jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia. I've written a chapter in evidence, in Bender's Consolidated Evidence, entitled Res Gestae, and I've written three major law review articles, one in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, and that has been bought by the State Department and many universities throughout the world, North America, South America, etc. I've also written a law review article on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, two articles on that on the United States educational system, and on sexual orientation discrimination. Of course, I oppose any form of discrimination and hatred. I don't want no part of it. Or even though I may disagree with homosexuality as a choice, I do not wish to persecute them or hurt them. I think they should be respected and left alone. So that's my view of it. And I also wrote an article on the United States educational system. I've identified the United States education system as being a problem and not doing the job. I'm very concerned that our young people are not being exposed to the great books that they should read, and I'm trying to emphasize that and make people understand the importance of reading significant literature, such as John Milton's Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes, and T.S. Eliot, and John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and his great autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, and Augustine's Confessions, and Aquinas, and all these books are great books, and they should not be ignored by our society. And I also emphasize the great importance of English literature, whether the Brontes or Anthony Trollope or Dickens or Thackeray or E.M. Forster. These are the legacy of great minds and great thoughts. I love them, and I urge young people and all people all over to read these great books, because they are great. Their greatness has outlasted the sands of time. Now I'm going to talk about prayer and try to understand. Christians are told by Jesus of Nazareth to pray. He even gave us a prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, as a guide to what we should say. Jesus told us to pray and gave us a model prayer. And since its inception some 2,000 years ago to this day, Christianity has been a praying faith. Christians have been instructed to pray not only in their churches, but in their homes. We are told to pray as a conduit to God and Christ, and to do it constantly and regularly. So Jesus instructs us to pray. He gave us a prayer to follow. And since its inception 2,000 years ago, Christianity has been a praying faith. And Christians have been instructed to pray not only in their churches, but in their homes. We are told to pray as a conduit to God and understanding and reaching the invisible God. So it occurs to me as somewhat strange that this omniscient and omnipotent God who exists in eternity, who has heard all our prayers and all of all men and women from the beginning of time to the end in one tableau, who knows the prayer before it is spoken and knows the answer, why does he still command us to pray? Let me say this again. It seems somewhat strange that an omnipotent and omniscient God who exists in eternity, who has heard all ahead of time the prayers of all men and women from the beginning of time to its end in one tableau, and who knows the prayer before it is spoken and knows the answer he has given, why does he command us to pray? So you have to ask yourself, why does he want us to pray? He doesn't need to hear our prayers. He's heard that. He knows what we're going to say ahead of time. He's heard all our prayers from the beginning of time and knows them before they're spoken and knows the answer. Yet he still commands us to pray. So why does he want us to pray? And moreover, why does this omnipotent, all-powerful being want to be not only petitioned, but praised? Are we being told that God and Christ are some sort of Santa Claus who distributes gifts to his select favors, who ask him with sufficient and persistent effort? Why does he want to be praised? Is he some sort of Santa Claus giving out gifts, and that he needs to be asked and praised and be told he's great with sufficient effort? Is God and Christ some sort of egomaniac and so insecure that he requires to be praised? That's absurd. Why does he require to be praised? Why does this omnipotent and powerful being not only wants to be prayed to, and he knows the prayer ahead of time and what we're saying and knows the answer, but is God and Christ some sort of Santa Claus who divvies out gifts to his select favorites, who ask him with sufficient praise and effort? Or you might say, is God or Christ some sort of egomaniac and so insecure that he requires to be praised? The answer to these questions lies in our relationship to God and in the nature of our relationship. God, as revealed himself in Christ, wants to communicate with his creatures. He wants relationships with people, or better put, he wants friends as human beings. He wants to share his undying and infinite love with us as his sons and daughters. So the answer is that in our relationship to God, as he revealed himself in Christ, he wants communication. He wants relationships with his creatures, or simply put, wants friends as human beings. He wants to share with no gain in sight for himself his infinite love with us as his sons and daughters. By praying, we reach out to Christ as he embraces us. We come to know him. He wants us to pray to him because he wants to understand us and relate to us. And he embraces us with prayer as we approach God in Christ. Prayer is a form of sharing. It is relating to our creature in love, our creator in love, and in turn being enfolded by that love. So as we approach God in Christ, as we pray, it's a form of sharing. It firms up the relationship. It is relating to the creator God in need and love, and in turn being responded by his love. In prayer, we rise above our selfhood and become persons who are capable of being the great God that God is. When we pray, we rise above our limited selves in time and become, in some sense, a little Christ, or persons who we are capable, have the potential of being. When we pray, we attach ourselves to the risen Christ and are able to share his love and to be remade and reborn in his image. So what am I saying here? By praying, he wants us to have a relationship with us as creatures, with his undying love, and he wants communication. He wants us to talk to him, you might say. And by praying, we approach God in Christ, and he embraces us. Prayer is a form of sharing. It is relating to the omnipotent God and being enfolded by his love. In prayer, we rise above our limited ourself and become related to Christ and God. When we pray, we attach ourselves to the risen Christ, are able to share his love and be remade and reborn in his image. Prayer is a catalyst that enables us to grow to be in the image of Christ. In prayer, we approach God in Christ, and he embraces us. It's the communication that God wants. He wants us to be his friend. He wants us to have his love, and he wants us to love him. In other words, he wants relationships with his creatures, or better put, he wants friends with no gain for himself. When we approach God in Christ in prayer, he embraces us. Prayer is a kind of form of sharing. It is relating to our Creator in love, and in turn being responded to by that love. And as I said, in prayer we rise above our limited selves and become some kind of Christ, or the persons we are capable of being. When we pray, we attach ourselves to Christ, are able to share his love, and be remade and reborn in his image. Prayer is a catalyst that enables us to grow in the image of Christ. I'm going to talk about this again tomorrow night. It's a complex issue, but let me say this. We do not always know the answer that we are given to our petition, or the answer and it may not be the answer we want. We do not always know what is the purpose of praying. We know this much, however, that without communication, we know this much about prayer and communication. We know this much, however, from our earthly lives, that without communication, there is no relationship. And God wants relationships. Christ wants relationships with his creatures. Without communication, without prayer, there is no relationship with God or anybody. He wants us as his friends and wants to share his love with us. He sent his only begotten Son to a degraded humanity to have relationships and share. So what do I conclude here? When we pray, we rise above ourselves and become, in some sense, little gods or little Christ. We rise to what we can be as human beings. When we pray, we attach ourselves to Christ and are able to share his being and love and to be remade and reborn in his image. We don't always know the answer we are given to our petition or the answer we want. We do not always know what is the purpose of the prayer. We know this much, however, from our earthly lives, that without communication with anybody, there is no relationship or relationship. And God wants relationships with his creatures. He wants us, better put, as his friends, and wants to share with us his love and being. That's the key. He wants to know us. He wants to love us. He wants a relationship. When we pray, we grow in our relationship with God and Christ, and God shares his love with us as we share our love with him. So let me say this. Prayer is a way of communication, and it's a way of sharing love, the love of Christ and our love for him. And by having us reach out to him as a product of our free will, not by force, we have a relationship with him, because the prayer is voluntary. We approach God in a voluntary basis in the prayer. We solidify our relationship. And I have to say, since relationships are force by force are not relationships, that's why God commands us to pray, because he wants to know us, understand us, and be friends with us. No woman can love a man who raped her, or the child or the parent who abuses him. Prayer is friendship and relationship with God and Christ. I'm going to talk about this again tomorrow night, and I think you'll see what I'm saying, that the key to prayer is God wants relationships. He wants us as his friends on a voluntary basis. This is the key to the reason for prayer. Prayer is communication, and as I said, without communication with other human beings, whether our parent or child, there is no relationship. God wants relationships. He wants us as friends. He wants us to communicate with him. Communication to God is very important. And it's not that it doesn't matter that he knows the prayer ahead of time, that he knows the answer, though that's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is he wants us to pray, to know him and understand him, and have a relationship with him. That is the key to prayer. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this talk.